Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Sarah Reinhardt. She's blogging over at snoringscholar.com occasionally. I figured I'd throw that in.
Out on it.
Well, if I don't, you're going to call yourself out, so I might as well get the giggle over it. And she's also a very well-read woman, which is why one of the reasons I have her join me is to talk about books, but we also like to talk about life. And today we're going to talk about Advent, the Advent season, how we're preparing, how we're not preparing, and how we're preparing our hearts and minds for the coming of Christmas. Welcome to the show, Sarah Reinhardt.
Thank you, Allison Gingras.
Good job pronouncing it. I'm impressed.
I was impressed too.
I just someone just sent me a guest blog, which I'm so happy to have people over at Reconcile to You guest blogging. Gives me a day off, but I giggled because they wrote my last name incorrectly. So I sent her back an email.
Was it a real one or was it one of the spammy ones?
No, it was a real one. It was as someone I invited on. I put out a call to whoever wanted to. We're doing a music that moves you, faith sharing. Every Monday we post a new song with scripture reflections and reflection. We're doing Sarah Kroger right now. If you've ever heard of her, she's fantastic.
I've heard of her, but I'm not sure I've ever listened to her.
Oh, she's so incredible. Today's song is Your Song. It's all about God's timing and how it doesn't always.
My song?
It's called Your Song, not Your
it's
Song.
It's called My Song? Oh, I guess.
Yeah, you got it.
I can do this all day. Sorry.
Goober, yeah. Who's on first? I don't know. Third base. Yeah, I'm with you and I'll fall right into it.
I know.
It's all good. Anyway, she said she wrote the wrong thing and I emailed back. I said, not a big deal, but it's if you drink too much gin, you end up on the grass and you lose an S. Just to let you know.
Wow.
That's how you pronounce it. That's how you spell it. Yes. I used to be a Perry. Perry was easy. Gin grass, not so much. Anywho.
He finds ways to humble us no matter what we do.
Exactly. He gives us really difficult last
names.
Big name.
Jerk. I mean, I love him.
Yes. Isn't that how you feel like about most relationships? Like, yes. I love my husband, but he's a big jerk.
My husband is not a big jerk. I wish I could think he was, though. It would solve some problems I have myself.
Aren't you a lucky girl? No, mine's a big jerk.
He's not a jerk.
He's a pain in that butt is what he is. Mine is.
Mine should be, and then I could complain about him.
Oh, you hit the jackpot on that one.
I did. I really did. And I don't know. I ask him every so often. I'll just go, how'd you get stuck with me? And he's like, just lucky, I guess. And then I'm like, I can't even really be mad because I agree.
Oh, that's funny.
So what have you been reading?
Huh?
What have you been reading? There, I got the jump. I win.
No, I was going to change it completely and talk about Advent.
Oh, then let's talk about Advent.
I've been reading, and we're going to talk about this today, too.
Advent. Here's my reaction to that question, Allison.
Yes.
Oh, crap.
Yes.
And you assured me when I said that to you that that would be the reaction of pretty much everybody.
I think so. I think a majority of people feel that way about Advent and preparing for Christmas. It's oh, crap. I have all this other stuff from my
thanks,
normal
God,
life
needed,
going
needed
on.
How'd you know? Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then we're going to add on this idyllic expectations of the world of how a perfect Advent and or Christmas should look like. And it doesn't match up ever.
Ever.
Yep. Ever. Even when I wasn't a full-time working mom of three, when I had just my husband and myself or just one kid or two kids or no job but kids, could never make it the idea that's in my head. I mean, I'm a Hallmark movie addict.
And, you know, it never looks like that in real life.
Mm.
Never.
That doesn't so much surprise me. I hate Hallmark movies, though. And maybe it's because of the expectation they set up.
Mm.
My mother-in-law, however, loves them. So whenever we're at her house, anytime, she has them on.
I do, too.
Yeah,
I'm pretty much from the, I don't start the early, like they come out pretty ridiculously early. I start at Thanksgiving. I wait. And then I kind of glut myself on them. The one that was Saturday night, total glut, was a Nutcracker Christmas. Best one so far, because I love the Nutcracker. And there was real dancing and there was a real ballerina in it. So I can't think of her name, but Sophia Lucia, something along that line. But anyway, it was wonderful. So there's different kinds of Advent traditions. Let's just go through a few and see how we're stacking up to them. So the first one I thought about is the Advent calendar, like the kind of that.
Oh, yes.
Countdown calendar. I got the new Ignatius Gospel Reflection for kids. It's fantastic. I think I did 3 days with my daughter.
You're ahead of me.
I used to
don't
have
judge me.
I won't judge. I'm totally not judging. I mean, my daughter's 10 and you think she would be the motivation to do it.
No. I have a 9-year-old. No motivation there. I reviewed it. I went through it. I went, that is the coolest thing. It ties in scripture and it's not like a Jesse tree overwhelming. And we'll talk probably about a Jesse tree soon. But I'm having one of those Advents where, Allison, if one more thing gets added onto me, I might seriously die. I might kill myself. Not really. No.
I was going to say, hello.
Okay, I am being a only slightly exaggerated. Like I actually, like in prayer, we had our parish had adoration this weekend. And I actually sat there and went, really? One more thing? And then the quote, I keep a book in my bathroom because, right, I'm a book girl. Have you ever heard of St. Jose Maria Escrivá? He has a little book called The Way, and all it is quotes. So I'm a quote addict. And so when I first tried to read this book, I tried to like read everything like cover to cover. And so then it came to me kind of out of the blue, like, you should put that in the bathroom. That's a perfect book when you're in the bathroom and you're like, well, I didn't want to bring my phone in here because I don't want to admit out loud that I take my phone into the bathroom. But, oh, I did.
Like you'd be the only
way. Anyway, getting beyond that, nobody heard me say that on national radio. So I opened it up the other day in the midst of what I think may have been one of the worst weeks of my life. And the quote was, do you think you can't do more? Could it be instead that you can't do less? And I mean, if I could have middle fingered God, I would have. I did right there in the bathroom. I was like, seriously? I mean, and this is that time of year when like nothing else, like, I think the emotional burden on top of the actual physical having to get things done thing. I mean, it's overwhelming for everybody. I mean, I'm not a special case in this.
No,
it's everybody. I said that
we're in the majority. That's why I wanted to talk about it today. Because we're halfway through. We're starting onto week 3 of Advent. And I think this is when you start to feel that pressure. You know, up until now, you've thought, I can do this. Like you've got I have a bullet journal. So I have the plan. I have the timeline. Like I can make this happen. And then halfway through, I go,
I can't.
That unexpected guest last night with the 2 glasses of wine.
How ironic that during Advent you have an unexpected guest.
Ooh, that's true. I had room for her though. I let her in and we had wine and it was wonderful. And then she left and I fell asleep.
And maybe what you needed was a nap. I know that feeling.
Well, a nap until 1:30 in the morning, which then I woke up. Okay, this is kind of funny. So then I woke up in panic. This is a Catholic dork moment. I'm praying the St. Andrew Novena, which goes from St. Andrew's feast day till it's like November 30th through Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in a panic and went, oh, I didn't pray it before I fell asleep because my husband and I do it every night. I said, I can't believe it. So I prayed it there at 1:30 in the morning, couldn't get back to sleep. I mean, God doesn't work in that way. He doesn't follow that timeline.
Right.
But yeah, what a crazy thing to be stressing over. God's like, you know what? I'm going to answer your prayer in my way anyway. So relax, girl. I got it. Craziness.
Yeah. Sometimes relaxing is like an act of trust. Mm-hmm. You know, like those trust falls. Did you ever go to any of those camps and you know, team building things. I still roll my eyes about them, even though if I'm not the person leading the activity, I am the most eye-rolly, cynical person in the room.
I get along so well.
So, you know, those trust falls, and like, isn't our spiritual journey like a big trust fall? You
absolutely
know?
Love it.
Isn't Advent like the biggest trust fall of all?
That is, I'm quoting.
I guess we could say Advent is, or Lent is, but I think really Advent in a special way because it's so condensed and so small. You know, 4 weeks, there's not even time to catch your breath before you, you know, lose your mind.
And I think Lent comes with that expectation that you're going to cut things out and you're going to focus on God, where Advent, it's kind of God becomes an afterthought. And that, I think, adds to the stress.
He's for me, the whole thought. Maybe there's even more stress. He's the whole freaking purpose. Ooh, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can say that. Okay. You totally can say that.
Well, maybe he's the whole purpose. And maybe that's part of the pressure I'm putting on myself, right? Like, maybe I need to chill about the fact that he's the one showing up. Oh my gosh, am I going to be ready? Dude, are you ever ready? No, you're never going to be ready. Is the house ever going to look good enough? No, the house isn't ever going to be good enough. Is my heart ready for him? Oh wait, I can control that one. You know, like, I can't control the mess the kids make. I'd like to think I can. I can't control the laundry being done or not done. I'd like to think I can. I can't control whether a chocolate monster dropped a bomb in my kitchen. The cake was amazing, but I got home and my 11-year-old looked at me and said, "You should have seen the kitchen before, Mom." And I'm like, how can I yell? She made like this cake that had like a ganache. I don't even know how to pronounce some of what she did to this cake.
Let me tell you, when I came up on Snapchat, my mouth was watering. I'm like, really?
Dude, I wish I could have, I wish you were next door. I would have taken you. This cake is like 1,000 calories per bite. It's the most, I told her, I said, I only ever want this cake.
Well, we're going to go to commercial. We have much more with Sarah Reinhardt. Please stay tuned. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Don't go away.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're joined this morning by Sarah Reinhardt, and she and I are speaking this morning about Advent and Christmas preparation, where we're at, where we're going, what we're doing, and what we're not doing. We were talking at the break, before the break, about the gift. You know what? One of the things I thought of when you were talking was not just the trust fall and how the true purpose of Christmas, which, by the way, the true purpose of the season, I had written that in my notes before we even, so we were, Holy Spirit's at work here. But something I thought of yesterday on Sunday, I was sharing that my friend came over. It was wonderful just to share a glass of wine and get to catch up. And as soon as she left, the wine caught up with me and out I went like a light. And I was thinking, like, sometimes we have to really remember that God gives us a day of rest.
Yes.
For a purpose. It's a gift. And I, for one, struggle to accept Sunday as a day of rest for myself. Like, I feel guilty if I lay on the couch and watch a Hallmark movie, or I went hiking with my family, which was really fun. But I feel like, oh, there's so much I need to be doing. But God is insistent that I take this day of rest. And I mean, maybe it's just part of my ADD nature that I just want to do a million things and it's hard for me to rest. But I also think there's this guilt in me that's like, well, I can't not be doing my to-do list because I'm slacking. How do you feel about the day of rest? Do you guys embrace that? Like,
okay. I have gone back and forth over years and years with this. And I think that it is very tempting to go to one extreme or the other, to either ignore it completely or to become so pharisaical, so rule oriented and judgmental that you look at someone else and go, you're not resting. So with that in mind, I try to not do things that are work, but it is impossible not to feed people. Sometimes it's impossible not to do laundry. It's basketball season, and I find it pretty resting to go to a basketball game, because then I only have to pay attention to that. You know, like I'm away from the laundry. Yesterday we were at like 2 or 3 games, but so it always involves either Saturday night or Sunday, always involves mass. So there's a resting there, you know, by turning to the Eucharist. And I try not to get on and do any of the work for which I am paid, if that makes sense, until the evening. Sometimes I do get on Sunday evenings just because that is the nature of the work I do, but I try not to. So it's not a guarantee, and I fail. And in a family situation, sometimes saying rest, we picture just laying on the couch. And sometimes we do that and it's great. But if we did that every time, I think we would be doing a disservice to ourselves. Sometimes that's not what we need. But we do try to see Sundays as different. However, we are very busy. We have, you know, 4 young kids, and the youngest is now in junior high. So we're getting into that season where it's really busy all the time. Mm-hmm. So
I think that you clicked on something or hit on something that I have been learning myself after being a mom. Now my son just turned 21. That's just ridiculous. My oldest is 21. I don't know how that happened. Last week on Immaculate Conception, which is a good day to have a baby 2 months early. But anyway, is this the irony? Just a little quick. The irony is he was born 2 months early, and that's the only thing he's ever been on time for, or early for. Now he's on late for everything. It becomes a young adult. But this whole idea of rest and taking time away from the normal or from your work or the things you get paid for, as you said, like I've been trying to make Sundays family day, family time. When I was a kid, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, Sundays we were packed up and brought to one of my grandmother's house. We had a big family meal with my cousins, my aunts, my grandparents, my great grandparents. We were all together. We all had this big meal. There was no stores open, of course. There was nothing to do but be together as family. And those are some of my most cherished memories. And I realized that as my own family has grown, and we're a close family, like the extended family, but we're not crazily close. And it just becomes like another day, a day to get errands done or, you know, clean the house or whatever. But that's not at all the gift that God has for us.
Right. I do try. I'm not a big fan of shopping. And I try to not get myself so caught in a corner that, I mean, because I don't think, however we look at this as a day of rest, I don't think the purpose of it is to create more stress. So if I say to myself, right, I can't do any shopping or any errands or any, well, then sometimes I can create more stress for myself and not make it a good day at all. But I do try to not do my grocery shopping or to not do things that are kind of day-to-day activities, but sometimes you can't help, like, you know, sometimes you have to. I think maybe that's the gift of the day as well, is that you don't have to be locked in. You know, rest means different things to different people because we all are so different, right? God made each of us unique. Yes. So I think maybe I'm being too in the middle of the road about this.
No, I think that's good. I think in the middle of the road is a good place to be, because if the extremes aren't good, but then ignoring it isn't accepting the gift. I have this whole thing about gifts, that gifts are only useful if they're accepted and opened and used. That just sits there. It's not really a gift. It's just this package. And it's just a box, or it's just a, you know, something in wrapping paper. But once we've accepted it, opened it and used it, then the gift is fulfilling its purpose. And the day of rest has a purpose.
Right.
And it's a gift from God to regenerate us, rejuvenate us. And of course, it needs to include a time with Him. And I really, you know, that time in Mass, doing it last night. We had, I belong to a Emmaus community. It's a, you go on retreat and then afterwards the community stays together. Everybody that's been on the retreat is welcome to this once a month thing called a Galilee, which includes mass and being together. And I think that's a beautiful way. Like there's so many different, you said you went to something at your church as well yesterday or recently for Advent.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, sorry. I wasn't following. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, we went to, there was an Advent by candlelight and it was actually 45 minutes away, which is close. And it was like, they get all these women together and there were a couple men, two priests and maybe one other man snuck in, but it was Advent by candlelight. And they had a guest speaker and it was, as you would imagine, there were candles on every table. And in some cases wine, and then everybody brought a dessert or an hors d'oeuvre to share. So I brought brownies because that's what I take to everything, but other people actually cooked and baked, and oh my goodness, it was like 5,000 calories in one plate. It was so awesome. Like it was fancy girl food, I guess, is what I turned to one of the ladies and said, oh, it's fancy girl food.
I love that.
It was awesome. But yeah, it was really nice too, because it really, something about sitting in candlelight, and we've been using our Advent wreath, although we didn't start until, I want to say Thursday night, maybe I got it out.
That was another thing on my list. How are you doing on, we think we've.
Well, the kids, so I've got a toddler, okay? And I have, my oldest is 11, almost 12, a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 1.5-year-old. I'm going to light things on fire on my table. What do you think is going to happen? Just you don't even have to answer it. Just in your mind, sit with that for a few moments and laugh, because it has all happened.
Yeah.
The minute you light that, there's fighting. It's just like the Advent wreath is in the middle of the table to remind me what it's like to have family fights. Because they fight over who lights it. They fight over. Yes. And then one of the kids, and I would say that it was one kid in particular, but they all take turns. We'll breathe heavy just to watch the flame. And then another kid will go, don't blow it out. And I mean, and I'm just sitting here with my head in my hands going, yeah, candlelight, totally peaceful, God, totally peaceful. But you know, life is messy. And I think that is awesome. Maybe that's a reminder. I can sit here on the phone or on the radio with you and tell you, yes, this is a reminder of the messiness of our life. But maybe I'm just really annoyed.
Or maybe it's both. You know, some things are both ands, right? They're not and ors. That's a pretty funny thing. No, our kitchen table is in what used to be our breezeway. So it has heat, but it doesn't have the greatest heat. And we have to actually turn it on and have forethought that we want to eat out there. So it's cold. I live in New England. It gets pretty cold here. So when we have the thought to eat out there as a family around the table and not on TV trays in front of the television, because that's where it's nice and warm and cozy, or at a restaurant, because I hate cooking, it gets lit. And now we have only a 10-year-old who wants to light it. But I'm going to tell you, my 18-year-old and my 21-year-old still breathe heavy to see if they can blow it out from where they're sitting.
What is it? Like, seriously, what is it with that?
It's fire. I don't know what it is with fire, but I know the men in my house are absolutely ridiculous.
I am too.
Around fire.
Okay, I got to admit, I am too.
Okay.
It's fun. Confession. Me too.
Yep. And I'm the one who sticks my fingers in the wax and lets it dry on my fingers still, as a 40-something-year-old woman. I still like that feel and the smell. And yeah, it's just, I mean, look, think about it. They have that paraffin thing that you can stick your whole hand in. So obviously it's not just a...
Just not it's not just thing. You. Is that what you're saying? It's not just you.
No, most things are all about me. This case, it's not. We're talking today with Sarah Reinhart, and we're just talking about Advent and Christmas and preparing ourselves. I did have a book that I wanted to talk a little bit about when we come back from the break. It's called, she's got one and I've got one. Advice Worth Ignoring, Dr. Ray Gurundi. This has been my read. You asked me what I was reading. That's it. And Glow Kids. Sounds like a very interesting book. Don't go anywhere. We have much more. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today with Sarah Reinhardt. We're talking a little bit about, that is not even English. Don't make that sentence again. About Advent and the coming of Christmas. Let's see, let's go down the list and see if we caught everything before we move on. We talked about the Advent calendar, the Advent wreath, the Jesse tree. We don't have to talk a lot about that, but I saw that on Goodreads that you reviewed a book on the Jesse tree.
I did.
Was it a good book? I didn't read your review.
I don't even remember doing that. I did?
I will just link to it then. I know that Jen.
You know what? There is a book on the Jesse tree. I tried to pull it out. I was trying to tell my kids when we pulled out the Advent wreath, I have a Jesse tree thing that when my oldest daughter, it would have been like 10 years ago, she was two or three, I went through and made all these handmade ornaments. And I have a friend who's crafty, so we worked on it together. So I totally got off of her energy. And I tried to read the first chapter of this Jesse tree, the introduction, and my kids were like wandering out of the room. And I'm like, we're not going to be doing this year.
Yes. So a Jesse tree, for anyone who's not ever heard of it, is salvation history in tree form. So you read the stories from the scriptures that go with the ornament, and you count down to Christmas and you put them up on the tree. And it's wonderful. Jen Frost was here from Faith and Fabric. She has a phenomenal book, and you can either just print them and color them in, or you can make them out of fabric. She gives you different ways to make them depending on your craft ability, your time ability, the age of your child. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Faith and Fabric, Jen Frost, the Jesse Tree book. She was here talking about it. I'll link to her interview. It's something I started with my boys, but I'm just not consistent. It's part of my ADD for sure. Executive function, consistency, not my friend. But I love the idea. I love that children learn about salvation history. We need to know that. Maybe I just need to do it at a different time of the year when I'm not busy.
Maybe that's it. Or maybe I don't know. I have a hard time with it. I mean, I'm with you. I have a hard time with it too. And maybe it's because we've got so much else going on this time of year that, you know, I've heard people who are like, oh, well, we do our devotions at breakfast time. And I'm like, I have a kid who, like, you know, I'm doing good if I get her to eat something in her mouth before she walks out the door. Mm-hmm. And it just, my strength.
So. We're not together very much. We're not together for breakfast. We're not together for lunch. We're not together for dinner most of the times because my sons are in retail.
We're together for dinner a lot, but even so, and maybe it's the kind of thing where I could put something in their lunches because I pack, you know, they like to pack their lunches and I write them a little note. So maybe it's just a matter of, you know, that might be a way to do it is today's thing on the Jesse tree. But I know I've heard like Greg and Jennifer Willits have talked about it over the years. And I've heard people who have great success with this and probably they are better organized than I am. Part of it is I didn't grow up with a Jesse tree either. So to me, it feels intimidating. Like even just talking about it, like every day there's an ornament in the scripture reading every day. Like Advent's only 4 weeks long. I've already got 17,000 things packed into it, and it's only every day. Great.
Yeah, that whole everyday thing always gets me. Yeah. Instead of the St. Andrew Novena, something I'm really, it takes like 10 minutes at the most to do. I even bought from Rosaries from Allison. I even bought a beautiful chaplet. It's like $14. Go to Etsy shop. Love this chaplet. It's green and red and white, and it's got St. Andrew medal on it. Absolutely love. I love Rosaries by Allison. Anyway, it could be the name, but even that, I still, you know, consistent. Consistency is not my thing.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, and we all struggle with different. I mean, some of us struggle with, you know, I'm doing good to get myself on a prayer schedule every day. And I'm not saying I don't want to do that for my children, but it just, sometimes it feels like there's this temptation to put one more thing on myself and I can't do it.
Well, I just try to do my prayers in front of the kids. So at least, if nothing else, I'm being a good example of where they could be. And I, you know, we throw things out. The car is a great place to talk. I've always loved the car for talking. It's really hard to have a deaf daughter. Let me tell you, for somebody who just adores that time together, it's really difficult because if I'm the driver, I can't be having a conversation with my daughter. But
oh, that's true. I mean, and you saying that, I have to say, we do pray in the car on the way to school as we're pulling out, because I take my kids to school. They ride the bus home. But we pray as we're pulling out of the yard out of the yard. Yeah, because we park in the yard. So I do use that time. And I suppose I could be using that time to talk about Advent. And I guess you have to forgive yourself for being human.
I think that is huge. I know that's probably the best takeaway from today, is that we're not perfect. And that's why I wanted to talk about it with you, even especially when you started to say, but I just stink at this. Yeah, we all do. And I think knowing that more people stink at it than our Martha's do it. I can't say Martha. It's just not a Massachusetts word. Martha. I still can't say it.
Martha. What word are you trying to say? Martha?
Yes. But we don't say it here. We say Martha. Martha Stewart. that's her name. Okay. Anyway, we're digressing. But there's far more people who are like you and I, who want in our, like, you know, we see it coming and we want to make it as perfect as we can for ourselves, for our kids, for our families, for our church communities. But we just are human. And we may just kind of stumble through Advent. But every little bit we've done is more than we've done the day before Advent. And it's giving God, he's the purpose, and putting him in the center, however we do that. If it's praying on our way to our school, or, you know, 2 seconds with your husband at night, praying that novena together, or just, you know, that once a week when you are sitting at table together, that's important. And it's probably more than we did the previous month. So I think, you know, if there's any lesson to take away from today, is we are human, that we're not going to always get it right, and that's okay. God can work with that. Romans 8:28 promises to make good from all circumstances, including those that we feel we aren't kind of up to par on things, I think.
Allison, I just looked up this Rosaries by Allison Etsy shop, and I'm favoriting like almost everything. If I seem to be quiet, it's because I'm having rosary envy right now.
Allison Kenyon is incredibly talented.
All you have to type in is Rosaries by Allison. It comes right up.
Yeah. I'm going to put the link, but yes, Rosaries by Allison. She spells it right too. Two L's. Ooh. All is on. That's the right way to spell Allison.
and your little spelling thing.
Yes.
Killing me today.
That's how my brain works. Welcome to my crazy world. So let's take the rest of this segment and talk a little bit about Glow Kids. What is this book about?
Okay, Glow Kids. Oh my goodness. So we've all seen it happen. You are in a crowded waiting room. There's a bunch of little kids and they should all be climbing up the walls. And instead they're staring mindlessly at small screens that cost over $800. And should not in any way be dropped in a toilet.
But you wouldn't know anything about how that
I don't know anything
be.
About these things. It is a book about the impact screens are having on our children and maybe on us as adults. Mm-hmm. And it is also, at first I had trouble reading it. I got it from the library at first and thought, all right, I'm going to read it from the library because I'm not going to buy this book. And I had to buy it because I could not whip through it at first. It took me, I was over halfway through before I could just sit down and read it and not punctuate reading with another book too. Because it's a heavy topic, you know? I mean, I carry a phone around. I'm not married to my phone maybe as badly as other people, but it's still, I catch myself all the time going, okay, can I walk out of the room without my phone? Yes, I can. I can do it. But I'm watching my children, you know, we've had iPads, we've had little tablets, we have a family phone, because what do you do when you don't have phones in houses anymore? You have to have a phone to send with your kid. You know, when they go over to someone else's house, how awkward is it to say, Mrs. So-and-so, can I borrow your phone so I can call my mom? Why do you need to call your mom? You know, I mean, it makes an awkward situation. But I'm watching my own children and it is making an impact on our kids. Mm. And we were sitting at, I helped with RCIA last week at our parish, and right before it started, I got there, I screwed up by time, and this is the way to mess up if you're going to mess it up. I got there an hour early.
That is a good way to mess up.
Yes, yes. I actually had this fear like, oh no, did I get the wrong day? Because I had to line up a babysitter and my husband's schedule. Like things were, it was like a house of cards. And I'm like, if I got the wrong day for this, we are in so much trouble. It turns out I was just an hour early. Well, I walk in and we got things set up and we had about 10 minutes and I'm looking around and my phone was actually turned off. And I looked around, everybody is looking down. Everybody, wow. Even people without phones. So I turned my phone on and I thought, well, I'm going to read the mass readings. And then wouldn't you know it, an older guy in the room goes, isn't it interesting how, and he kind of brought the conversation up and I'm like, I should have just,
yeah,
you know, like 20 years ago. And it's true though. But I mean, yes. Even if you look, I have noticed in lines at stores, like I will not hand my phone to my kids. I don't have any games on it and I won't hand it to them in part because it's an expense. It's not a toy, yes. And it's expensive. And I'm not judging anybody who does hand it to their kids. Do not hear judgment in my voice. It's a personal decision on my part. I'll buy them candy instead. I'm not saying it's a better decision. I'm not necessarily making a better decision. I'm just making a decision.
Yes.
I can't afford a new phone. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly why I won't give mine to Faith unless she's like sitting toddler. In the car.
I had to Google how to lock him out. He kept calling people when my phone was locked. Why is that? And he still can play music. I cannot figure out how to turn off the ability to turn on music when my phone is locked. I don't want anything to work.
We are talking today with Sarah Reinhart. When we come back, we still have more, so don't go away. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We've been talking this morning with Sarah Reinhart. It's so good to have you back, Sarah, last month. We just couldn't connect, and I'm just happy that we were able to come together for this last time for this year. Kind of crazy to think 2016 is almost over. Craziness. We're talking today about Advent, and you're sharing a little bit about that book, Glow Kids. And, you know, I was thinking as you were talking, one of the things I've started to do was when I go, I've been hiking with my husband more, getting out, walking with him and going hiking. And I actually been leaving my phone at home, which is kind of monumental for me. I'm the person who I have a stoplight right in front of my house. So I leave my driveway and I usually get stuck at the red light and I'll look at my purse just to make sure I have my phone. And I've been known to turn around and come back home when I don't have it. Like so panic, like that panic feeling, oh, I don't have my phone. I have to go home. And now I'm like, nope, leaving it home. Gonna give him this attention and, you know, a little bit of my own. So I feel like there's a little shift in my addiction to the phone, but I definitely see my kids are, Faith has asked for a computer for Christmas. And every day she's like, do you think Santa's bringing me a computer? Do you think I'm getting a computer? And we're already like talking about tech, our strategy with her and this computer.
Right. Right. So this book is written by, here's what's interesting to me too. So I have a background sort of in education and obviously as a mom, I've been a mom for 11, almost 12 years now and have had nieces and young people in my life. And my experience up until now is that the kids, the young people in my life aren't as bad as the adults when it comes to phones. When my nieces are around and my nieces and nephews, usually their phones are nowhere around unless they get bored. If you're not interacting with them and engaging with them, for the most part, my experience with teens and for the most part is that if you can keep them engaged, they would rather have that than have the interaction with the phone. what they lack in their lives now. Like, they don't call and talk on the phone anymore. They text, right? So they're actually, I think there's like this longing we all have for personal interaction, right? Which is why the person of Jesus is so appealing to us and really should circle back to the Advent message, right? Like, this is what really speaks to us about Jesus coming as a baby. Who doesn't love a baby? Well, the guy who wrote Glow Kids is a PhD, but he has been working for like 20, 30 years in school settings as a counselor and psychologist. So he has hands-on experience with tech addiction. And, you know, what comes to my mind, and I guess it's come to my mind lately, over the last year, year and a half, I've thought about, especially running in mom circles and reading, you know, tearing myself down as a mother, how the temptation as a parent is to idolize your children. Everything your children do has to come first. And that's sort of idolizing your children in a way and making them the most important. Well, and this is, again, I'm working through it still. So theologically, I could be way off in Middle Earth somewhere.
So it's a good thing we're not a theological show. So go
on. Good thing. Well, the same is possible with your phone, right? Whenever you put something in front of God, it becomes an idol. So how does technology become an idol for us? Because I actually, this month, I had a couple of copies of Magnificat, the little magazine sent to me. Yeah. And I've been reading that instead of, I had been paying for the app on my phone. And I actually find myself paying attention differently. And I read this in this book that And it clicked for me. Like, when you read on a screen, even if it's a Kindle, even if it's one of the screens that isn't a glowing screen, your brain processes it differently than when you read it in a physical book. And I've known this as a book reviewer for years, because I cannot read certain books and review them if I have only the electronic copy. It is horrible, especially as, you know, you take the review game up and up and you want to include excerpts and things. It is hard to find. Like, I know I read this section. This was a good section. But I can mark a book and remember where I was in it in a tangible, tactile way when I have a book, in a way that I can't when I'm on my phone or on my Kindle or iPad or computer. And the same is true for our kids. So he breaks it down in many different ways. He also gives you tips. You know, like, there are ways that you can avoid having your kids get addicted. And it isn't, you're not going to be able to avoid screens. You know, it's like, I remember years ago hearing the story of somebody breaking up a TV. We will not have any TVs in our house. You know, we'll keep the devil out. Well, okay. And I have a TV in my house. We pay for Dish TV. You know, I'm the devil, whatever. TV, you know, the electronic device itself is not the devil. It's just a tool. Right. Anything is a tool. You know, my KitchenAid mixer can be a tool that leads me to hell, right? The devil is happy to use whatever tool will work.
Yep.
So I think what I took away from this was kind of to be very mindful of these electronics. But, you know, I'm a total nerd and a geek, so I ate up the details of it as well. So I highly recommend it. I mean, I would first check your library and skim through it and take a look at it. But it's got some information that I think would be very eye-opening if you tend to be the kind of person who just thinks, it's a phone. You know, the kids need technology. There was a point that he referenced in this book that schools that adopt technology, if they aren't already like at the top tier, test scores can improve by 24% or 16% or some double digit percent if you take away technology instead of, you know, like every kid having a Chromebook, every kid having an iPad. Test scores increase in the segment of kids that are most in need for help, most in need of intervention. Those test scores increase even more, like double the normal number. I forget the exact numbers and I don't have the book in front of me to, but when I read that, I thought, oh my goodness, I need to give copies of this book to my superintendent, every school principal. And I think I actually am going to buy a couple of copies and go, could you please read this?
Yeah, that's interesting.
because the thing is that we're not helping our children learn better by making them dependent on technology. Technology is a tool, like a pencil or a pen, but you need to be able to think. So,
absolutely. And you got my brain going a mile a minute here, but I started working on a bullet journal this year. And one of the reasons that I moved to this handheld journaling or calendar system to-do list is because there is psychological connection between our ability to process and to remember when we write versus just reading or typing. God created these wonderful bodies and minds, and like they all have this incredible gifts to them. And I love to write. And then I was kind of feeling like, oh, I'm wasting my time because I'm writing out a list when I could just type it. But you know what? When I write it, it's actually something that helps me process. Like, this is a better priority.
Do you know, you actually remember things better when you write them down, which is, I have a daughter who is very artistic and likes to write. And I always encourage her, take notes by hand.
Yes.
And there's actually some apps, there's technology out there. They're trying to make technology that feels like a pencil on paper, like a tablet that you could use it as a pencil on paper, which then I don't have problems with you taking notes. But part of the problem with typing notes as you're listening is that you'll do things verbatim and then you won't remember, because part of what helps you remember with that handwriting notes as you're listening is that you're putting things into your own words. So, you know how you can learn more when you teach someone. And part of the reason for that is that you have to reprocess it to get it back out. So when you're writing notes that way, you're reprocessing right there in the moment. Sorry, education nerd here.
Oh, it's all right. I have a, I don't know if you know this about me, but I actually have a master's degree in technology and education. I do.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Little known fact about Allison is that I wanted to be a technology, tech ed teacher. And I finished the program in the early 2000s. And that was just when the budgets fell through in every school system, especially in my area. And that's the first job that got cut. So I never actually put it to use, but I do see great use in it. I have to keep qualifying this to my husband because he reminds me I'm still paying for the education. I don't.
You know, that's funny. I got my master's degree about the same time you were getting yours.
Oh, funny. I did. And I went to Lesley University in Boston, Cambridge, and it was a weekend program. So I did a year of the elementary ed. And I love learning how we learn, and how you learn as a preschooler, elementary school, high schooler, it's how you learn always. Adults learn just the same way. And to be able to share knowledge in a way that people can receive it and understand it is a gift. And I don't regret a minute of that time I spent learning in the program. And then I switched to this online program to do the tech ed stuff. And so I learned how to, you know, make websites. There you go. And
what do you call those things?
So I can be my own webmaster. So I save money there.
Right. Well, it's, that's really interesting. And I think there's technology, again, it's not the devil. It's a tool, and it's very pervasive. And I think that the problem is it lends itself to being more, what do I want to say? Getting into your head. Yeah. And kids aren't prepared to battle against that.
Nope.
Speaking of kids, I have one wandering into the room here. So if you hear a loud noise, it's just him electrocuting himself.
Well, that would be bad. But listening to his cute little voice is never a bad thing. Sarah, we're coming to the end of our time together this morning. Always happy to have you here with us. You are over at snoringscholar.com. And is any parting thoughts you'd love to lead us with?
Oh, Advent can start anytime and continue.
Yeah, I think, you know,
and Christmas is a season, right? Get your Advent wreath out today. You get to light 3 candles. Woohoo!
That's fun stuff. So if you have 3 kids, they can each light one. No fights this week. We'll start again next week when there's 4.
There will always be fights. There is fire on the table.
Thank you again, Sarah Reinhart, snoringscholar.com. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.